From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak. Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Bible is Greek for book, and only God's Word should monopolize that unique designation of the Bible. It is the book of books. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Two testaments are contained therein, 66 volumes from Genesis to Revelation, history, poetry, biography, genealogy, the doctrines of God, angels, and man. Heaven and hell, sin and salvation, how man can get right with God, the story of God becoming man, the incarnation, that man may return to fellowship with the Lord, salvation. A host of human authors over a course of several thousand years, a variety of personalities, styles, and experiences, yet not one true contradiction. All speak of the one who is the glorious focus of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the one who's coming again. Please read your Bible or have someone read it to you. People have been imprisoned and put to death for having a Bible, realizing the precious value of it, more than gold that perishes. One of the church's famous hymn writers was a blind woman named Fanny Crosby, who memorized books of the Bible. And there's no excuse for any of us not to read or have the Bible read to us. If you don't have one, we'll be glad to send it to you free. And this is a long-standing offer. Anytime anyone desires a Bible, please write to us or call us. We'll be glad to send it to you, only that you promise to read it or have it read to you. Stay tuned for a message from the Bible, and our address will be given at the end of the program. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Perhaps you as well have experienced the snow that has fallen over the last few days. And what a beautiful sight it is as we see our area blanketed with snow. I was thinking about how snow is used in the Bible. There's an interesting insight, a little fragment of history in 1 Chronicles 11:22, where it says a man named Benaiah slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. And we've had such snowy days, haven't we, in the last few. Snow is used literally and figuratively in the Bible. And I'd like us to ponder the teaching that the Lord would have us to learn regarding the snow that He mentions in the Bible. We think of snow certainly literally. We're to take the Bible literally as possible. We are to be blessed by simply speaking and considering the literal truths of God's Word. Christ literally, really rose from the dead. There's a real heaven and a real earth and a real hell. And so we are to take these truths literally as possible before we jump to the figurative and the spiritual meanings. I'm thankful that heaven isn't some nebulous and hazy thing, that it is a real place where God concentrates His glory, where God focuses in a special way His glory, where His people are. Snow is given and controlled by the Lord. God is the creator and the sustainer of all things. As we view snow in our area, we're to remember that God is the creator and the providential controller. Job 37 and verse 6. You remember the character Job, that he was before Abraham, and he was a man of God. God visited him with salvation, and he was a man who did not allow riches to get to his heart. He trusted the Lord, and everything he had was given to the Lord. He held things with an open hand, so to speak. Job 37, verse 6. The Scripture tells us that God saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. And so it is. God is the one who calls for the snow. He's the one that causes it to drop from the clouds, from heaven. Isaiah 55, verse 10 says that the snow comes from heaven. So the Word of God comes to the hearts of His people. With every natural thing, we're to see the Lord. These are not to be the result of Mother Nature. God is the creator and the sustainer of all things. Verses 3 and 4 of Job 37 speak of lightning and thunder, that God directeth it unto the whole heaven, and His lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of His excellency. God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He. Whenever we see rain, whenever we see lightning and hear thunder, we are to realize that God is on His throne. After the last Bills game, we were again outside the gates preaching and handing out literature. Perhaps you were there. There was a great flash of lightning and a great sound of thunder, only one that I remember. And it caused everyone to be amazed and awed. At first, I thought someone was taking a picture of us. It was so bright. And then there was a great boom. And I thought that there was a bomb that was set off. But then I realized quickly that it was thunder. And I began to quote Psalm 29, "The God of glory thundereth." It certainly awestruck many people. There was one blasphemer who said that it was the result of Mother Nature. But God is on His throne, and the God of glory thundereth. George Whitefield, an evangelist in the 1700s, was preaching in this country. He was preaching during a lightning and thunderstorm that was passing over, and he used it greatly to point to the Lord, that this was the flash of God's presence, and there was the sound of God's voice in the ears of the people, and that they were to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and turn to the Lord before the great and terrible day when He will cause His lightning and thunder to be exhibited, so to speak, when He judges every single person. So the Lord, when we see the snow is to be recognized as the one who causes the snow to fall from his treasuries. An interesting, a quaint expression is in Job 38:22, the treasuries of the snow. The Lord has his snow in his treasure chests. And though the clouds might form and hover over us, only until the Lord opens his treasury do we have the snow fall. Man, in a sense, and only to a certain point, can predict the weather. But there's an element of uncertainty that shows us that God is on the throne. Just a few days ago, our own weatherman here in Western New York had predicted a pretty mild weekend. But all of a sudden, on Thursday, we were dumped with much snow. So we find that our God is in control of all things. He giveth snow like wool, Psalm 147, verse 6. As we think of snow literally, we're to think of the God of snow, the God who has created all the variety of things on the earth. We shouldn't look at a blade of grass or a leaf on a tree or an animal in the woods without realizing that God made them all. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Snow is used figuratively in the Bible. Negatively, it's used in the Old Testament, where the great disease in that day was leprosy, where we find cancer and AIDS would be illustrations for us of man's need of salvation. But Numbers 12, verse 10, we read of Miriam, a believer, the sister of Moses and Aaron, who, because of her sin, was chastened by the Lord and put out of the camp for 7 days. It says that she became leprous, as white as snow. And so when we see snow out there, we are to look at it perhaps as a picture of a person who is as leprous as can be. And leprous people have these marks on them that are as white as snow. And though it isn't a very current illustration for us, it is a biblical illustration. And may the Lord deliver us from the leprosy of sin. I think of two missionaries, John Dreisbach in Africa, and a man named Bill, who was called the Angel of the Amazon, who made great advances under the Lord in helping to see lepers cleansed and come to the Lord. Christ is the only one that can deliver us from the leprosy of sin. He's the only one that can cure us of the cancer of sin. Positively, snow is used in the teaching of salvation. Psalm 51:7, David says, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Christ's blood can wash you and me as white as snow. The positive part of this illustration, I think we understand a little bit more. Think of snow as white and a picture of purity and a clean slate. And though our hearts are full and black with sin, Christ's blood, which seems a strange picture, but yet a true one, that Christ's precious blood can wash us as white as snow, can make your life clean. He can give you a clean slate. Though your past is tainted with sin and failure, Christ can give you a new heart, give you a clean slate now and forever. Come to Christ. He's able to wash you. Snow is used of refreshing news in the Bible. Proverbs 25:13, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters." So Christ sends his people with the gospel to refresh souls who are under the heat of their sin and the world and the judgment of God. May this message to you be like cold waters to a thirsty soul. Are you not hungry and thirsty for the truth? Are you not tired of going to the broken wells of the world? Are you not tired of trying to find your happiness in a drink of alcohol or wine? Come to Christ. He's able to give you a drink of salvation. Snow is used in passages that point to Jesus Christ, for he is the theme of the Bible. In the volume of the book, it is written of him. So in Christological so-called passages, we find snow. In Daniel 7, verses 9 to 10, Daniel is a so-called minor or major prophet in the Bible. We look at Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Daniel, remember, contains the stories, not myths, but true stories of the three Hebrews that were delivered from the burning fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel delivered from the hungry lions. We find a revelation of Christ in Daniel 7:9. I beheld, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Christ is here called the Ancient of Days. He's the Everlasting One. He's the one whose garment is white as snow. That is, his righteousness meets the obligations of God's law for his people. He's the one who is perfect, who is righteous in all his ways. In Mark 9, the disciples Peter, James, and John, when Christ's deity shone through his humanity, he was transfigured. His raiment, it says, was exceeding white as snow. How the disciples saw the glory of Christ. And whenever we see the snow, may it remind us of the glory of Christ, that he is pure and spotless, the only one that can deliver us from a devil's hell. In Revelation 1:14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. This speaks of his wisdom. This speaks of the fact that he's omniscient. He knows all. He knows all about us. He knows our what we think, for our thoughts are as loud to him as words are to ourselves. He knows our hearts. He knows our inclinations. He knows whether we are saved or not. Come to Christ. He is the one who is able to deliver you from your sin. He's able to speak to the depths of your heart. He knows you. He knows me. Come to him. This should be a motivation for us to fly to him, to hurl ourselves at his feet, that he might deliver us from what he knows is within us. He knows we're lost. He knows that we are set against God in our hearts. But he is the one who's able to deliver us. And prophetically, I believe we see the subject of snow in passages that we could see to the future. Jeremiah 18:14, it says of the snow of Lebanon as being a forsaken place. We think of Antarctica, and we think of some forsaken places where there's snow and ice and blizzards and sub-zero weather. And yet it says here, if you look in the original, that his people forsook the fertile fields for the unforgiving snow country. And what a day that will be. When people who hear have forsaken the field of God's gospel, the field of salvation, the fertile field, God's field, and have chosen to them the unforgiving snow country, so it will be in that last day. Men will be forsaken. Men will realize how lonely a place that they will inhabit. For hell, though there may be, and there will be many who occupy that place, there will be no friendships in hell. Everyone will experience an individual suffering. Oh, may you trust the Lord and be delivered from that unforgiving place. For there's no mercy and forgiveness in hell, only God's wrath and anger. Psalm 68:14 speaks of God rooting kings, perhaps by a blizzard. And whenever we experience blizzards, may we think of God's wrath. The only way we can be delivered is by hiding in Christ. Proverbs 31:21 says, and this is speaking of a virtuous woman, and perhaps speaking of the church as well, she is not afraid of the cold of snow, for all her children are clothed with scarlet. And scarlet in the Bible, the color scarlet, the color red, speaks of Christ. That Christ has the scarlet thread of salvation. His blood, his red blood, is pictured throughout the Bible. The scarlet thread throughout the Scriptures speaks of Christ. Though the scarlet letter speaks of one who is condemned, through the scarlet blood of Christ, you can be justified and delivered. Matthew 27:28, it says that they put on him a scarlet robe. Yea, he took the sins of his people. They were reckoned to his account. He wore that scarlet robe. It wasn't his own. It was the sins of his people that he bore on the cross of Calvary, for he had none of his own. In Joshua, the scarlet thread was hung over the part of the wall where Rahab was living, and all who were within her household were spared by the grace of God. God looked down and saw that scarlet thread and delivered all those people. And all who have the blood of Christ upon their hearts, God will look over, God will save. Of course, Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Will you come to Christ? He's the only one that can deliver you from the blizzard of God's wrath. He's the only one that can deliver you from the fire and hail, the snow and vapors and stormy wind that fulfills his word, Psalm 148 and verse 8. Christ's blood can wash you white as snow. Come to him. There's still room at the cross. There's room at the cross for you. Christ receiveth repentant sinners.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also, be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org. www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m., and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.